it's game time. You've been attending lectures all semester, and now is the day you have been waiting for in anxious anticipation. It's test day. But then, oh flip, you have this feeling, this knot in your stomach. Then a little voice whispers from within, "You don't know anything. You aren't meant to be in this room. You are a fraud." That is a voice I'm sure you all know, guys. Imposter syndrome. In today's episode with third-year accounting sciences student at the University of Pretoria, Mavu Sakalunda, we briefly explore this thing called imposter syndrome and her brush with it. We also chat about her journey from BCom to financial sciences to accounting sciences, the power of planting a seed, how to make a difference in the front lines of wherever you are placed, the unexpected power of imposter syndrome, her experience at a Big Four vacation work program, and of course, more. Enjoy. My travelers. I hope you're all well. This is also going to be another quick one. Just wanted to note, we're continuing this Women's Month with power. We have a special friend of mine blessing the mic. So yeah, happy Women's Month once again. It's coming to a close, but we are still going to push. If you have not already as well, please give the show a rating. Please, guys. It shows all those peering from afar that, yes, this is the show for aspiring CAs, and you should watch it, that it will not be a waste of time, and that it adds value, man. So please do, if you haven't already, rate the show. Give it a review. I'd really appreciate that, and obviously it'll show people that this is valuable. With that, let's keep it pushing. On to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for all aspiring chartered accountants to inform, inspire, and empower the difference makers of tomorrow. Today. We're joined by a true friend, a stalwart supporter of the show, and someone who is so warm, so supporting and empowering. Just her presence is the type of thing to keep you going. Hailing from Pretoria, but originally from Zambia, she is a current third-year BCom Accounting Sciences student at the University of Pretoria. In her spare time, away from our favorite friend Ifaris, she plays sports, she loves to coach, she loves to go to the gym, she loves to dance, and so she works hard. She plays hard, but works even harder, might I add. We are joined by Mavu Sakalunda. Mavu! How are you? It's so lovely to have you today.
Thank you. What an introduction. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. Absolutely happy.
I am more than happy because We've chatted.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few people who has given me very, very consistent and open feedback. Mm. So you're sort of, in some ways, my guiding light in the show.
Wow.
So it's lovely to now hear the story behind this guiding light.
Yeah.
For real.
Okay. Wow.
No pressure.
Cool. So what do you want to know about?
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's take it all the way back to where this accounting thing began. And just, I want to add a quick pretext that Mavu was in the extended program before transferring into the accounting sciences program at UP.
Yeah.
So there's a very interesting, not so conventional path.
Yeah.
Walk us through where it started.
So, I mean, it all started in high school. I was good in accounting and maths, and I was like, what should I do, you know? But I think I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit in me, always finding ways to make money, always like just being out there, you know.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, BCom is the way to go, but I just didn't know which one. But I still wanted the accounting. But the thing is, you know, it's scary when your marks don't look like you're capable of, like, getting into your university to study accounting.
Okay.
But you still have the desire in you. Like, you still want to go and pursue it. But for me, I didn't have the marks at first. Hence, went to the BCom Extended Program. And then, didn't end there. Because after BCom, you have to transfer to another program.
Yeah.
So I went into financial science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, and the thing is, I'm grateful because I was like, wow. I didn't think I'd make it this far, but thank the Lord I made it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I ended up in financial science. I knew other people that still wanted to transfer, but I was like, listen, I already transferred. I'm okay with where I'm at. But, I mean, it wouldn't hurt if I took another step further.
Mm.
I don't know if this is the part where I should share my encounter with the one person. I don't know if I should even say his name.
Hmm. I think we can, man. I think we can get straight into the juicy part. And he's a lovely dude. I think he would appreciate the recognition as well to see that his words don't fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. And then I was actually with a friend at the time, and we actually went to consult. So we went to go consult for financial accounting 111. And like he transferred. So he shared with us his story about how he transferred from BCom Extended Program to accounting science. And like, I was so fascinated. I'm like, wow, people can actually do that. And he really motivated the both of us to keep on studying hard, to keep on going. Like, we should never give up on our dreams.
Mm.
And I left that consultation visit feeling so motivated and expired. I was like, I mean, inspired.
Expired. Don't feel expired. She felt inspired.
Inspired.
I'm actually going to name drop him because I think he deserves it. And he was on the show.
Yeah, he actually was.
Unity Musaka was the guy who didn't expire. He inspired Mao.
Inspired, yes. He was a tutor at that time. And I was so inspired. I was like, listen, if he can do it, what's stopping me? I should go for it. I should actually try my luck. And by God's grace, I made it. And I think the crazy part was I didn't just make it to first year. I made it to second year. So yeah, that was where it all started. When I see him, I don't think he knows the impact that he has. But when I see him, I'm like, this guy, wow.
How crazy is that? Like,
yeah.
I actually want to even just zero in on this for a second about us not realizing the impact of the little things we do.
Mm.
Like, there was this quote by William James. He said, act as if what you do makes a difference.
Yeah.
It does.
It does.
Because we underestimate the work we do. We underestimate the seeds we plant.
Mm.
Every day, just you having that conversation with the person next to you may have planted the seed for a friendship.
Yeah.
It may have planted the seed for that person to consider getting into the accounting program. It might have changed that person's life.
Absolutely.
You know, so the power of a seed, I'm starting to realize, is so profound.
It is.
You know? Yeah. Mavu.
Yeah.
That conversation, right, with Unity.
Yeah.
Does it still live on you to live on within you today?
Yeah.
Mm.
It definitely does. It made, like, in times of despair and when I think I am suffering from an imposter syndrome episode, if I should say, I think to myself, yeah, no, Unity really, like, his words just keep me going. Like, it does. So it still lives on in my head. I still think, don't give up. Go for it. There's nothing you can lose. All you can do is gain. Yeah, it does.
Where do you see the CA thing going? Now that you're in the program, yeah. and now that you've learned a bit more about it,
yeah.
where do you see it serving you?
Where do I see it serving me? I have a heart for underprivileged communities. I think it was inspired by all the trips I make when I go back home in Zambia. And I like, it pains my heart, you know. I'm glad and I'm very much grateful for the privilege I had when I was growing up. But I think people need help out there. And I think I could somehow use the skills or the knowledge that I have to make a difference in their lives. Make it better.
And I was actually talking yesterday with a bunch of aspiring CAs as well about how this degree is so special because it is just so universally applicable.
Yeah.
No matter what industry, no matter what impact. It's not like if you are a doctor, right? A surgeon, and you want to, let's say for an example, you want to, you're a heart surgeon and you want to go and help the penguins in Antarctica. Like it's not like it's unrealistic to say I want to improve the entertainment industry. You can, if that's what lights you up as an aspiring CA, that can be the industry that you go into. If you want to help in education, if you want to help in healthcare, literally everywhere, finance professionals are needed.
Yeah.
And the idea that they're needed comes from the fact that numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
In a school, there's financials. Mm-hmm. The numbers don't lie. We need an accountant to bring everyone back to the facts.
Yeah.
In a healthcare institution, in an insurance institution, obviously it's a financial service. But everywhere, you know, entertainment, et cetera, there is someone that is a numbers dude. And that could be you as a CA.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
You said that you are passionate about making a difference in the front lines you've been placed in.
Yeah.
In your pre-information. Can you elaborate on that?
Okay. Front line. So it's a term that they actually use at my church that represents all the places you find yourself at. Be it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So I love serving.
Mm-hmm.
Serve the church, serve in like sports places. But I genuinely like making an impact in those kinds of spaces. So, for example, basketball. This year I coached the basketball team. And I don't know, I just like, I'm not a basketball coach, but it's that I can impart in them motivation, skill that they need to work together as a team and make the difference and win their games. I don't know about the winning, but but it's the trying that counts. So like, if I know I can in that space make a difference, be it with someone who was there or a team or a group, just by even having a conversation, a life-changing conversation with them, I'm your girl. I could literally sit with someone the whole day, and if they need an ear, just listen. Just listen, in the hopes that after the conversation or whatever was going on, that person is relieved, the person is fine. I love impacts like that.
And I think we also underestimate the power of just lending an ear.
Yeah.
Like just the person that's sitting next to you in the lecture hall, that person, for all we know, could be going through it.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know the base because we're like, yo, we know the base of what they're feeling. We know that they're going to, you know, 8 hours of work every day at a minimum. You know, they're seeing marks that aren't meeting their expectations. Yeah. Most people go through the same thing. And so that person could really just need an ear.
Yeah, literally an ear. Just advice. Don't give up.
Just that little bit.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's going to, like, you'll never know it, but that's the thing that keeps them going till, listen, even away from suicide, but that's a chat for another day.
But yeah, that's very, very, very true. Like,
yeah,
just being a positive force at all times is so powerful.
It is.
Because it can save people from suicide even.
Mm-hmm.
Even, man.
Yep. Absolutely.
What sports do you play?
What sports do I play?
Yeah.
I've played many sports. Many sports. But I think the one that I've played the most is netball.
Mm-hmm.
So I started that from primary all the way till first year. And then I was like, I don't want to play sports. I want to be on the other side. You know, I don't want to be on the court. I want to be on the sidelines of the court. Screaming.
At,
Yeah. So I played netball the longest. But I have played other sports like soccer.
Netball and soccer. Netball, those are your mains.
Okay, soccer not my main, but
netball is your main.
Yeah.
Soccer's a secondary.
Yeah, I played it in primary.
Okay.
I also was very good at like athletic stuff. You know, your relays, your 100-meter runs.
When did you start going to the gym?
When I started gymming.
Yeah, because girls, they don't gym like they don't lift weights conventionally. So I know you didn't start when you were 15. I know you didn't start like me when you were 15.
Yeah, I started in grade 11. How old was I in grade 11?
I think 17.
Yeah, around that age.
Okay.
That's
pretty early.
It is.
That's like, pretty early.
I think
most girls start like 21.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
I didn't want to do drugs. So I was like, let me.
Wow.
Let me actually do something with my life that doesn't involve drinking and trying to waste my youth. And also it was a way to keep fit. So I loved the idea of being fit, having sports to play. But obviously at that time in life in grade 11, my mom was like, no, you need to focus and study in school. You can't be playing sports or doing this and that. So I remember it was actually in term 3. Netball season was over, and I was like, you know what, since I can't stay for like extramural activities that have to do with sports, let me join the gym.
Sure.
Took my mom to Virgin Active, and we're like, yeah, let's join today. And
we did that. You pressured your mom to join.
Yeah, I did.
That is fantastic.
Her. Yeah, and from there on, I never stopped.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, man, if you've been considering not just having the membership, but using the membership, because I know a lot of people have the membership.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you can enter the space. You know, it's very intimidating. I think, did you have someone that you entered the gym with?
When I started?
Yes. Like, did you start going with your mom?
No. With my sister, but I mean, the motivation wasn't really there for my sister, but then I'd go alone.
So you started with your sister.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty key bit of information because a lot of people, they just have the membership and they don't have a friend to go there with.
Yeah.
Because I think like starting with someone takes a lot of that pressure off.
It does.
Because I think a lot of the reason why people don't hit the gym is because, you know, like, it's not for me. I'd be going there by myself. People are judgmental. People actually don't judge that much. People really do their own thing. People really do their own thing.
They actually do. They do. Even this year, like, I think I had, like, some imposter syndrome. Because when you change gyms, now you have to get used to, like,
it's a new identity.
I did. I actually did. But luckily, I have a gym partner.
Okay.
Shout out to her. So we go together.
Okay. Yeah. So there's an example of an instance. So was she your partner from day one? or when you switched the gym, you were by yourself when you first went there. Was the first day you went to the gym by yourself? Can you remember?
Yeah, it was by myself.
There it is. I think people feel that imposter syndrome you're feeling.
It's a lot. It's like, okay, so what? Where do I start now? Mm. What do I do? Mm.
Do I talk? Am I meant to just keep to myself in this place?
Or? Like, why is there so many people at the gym? Oh my God. This gym.
Yeah.
But also, I think what was sad about the whole situation was that I was at a different gym, Planet Fitness.
Yes.
Because that was one that was closer to home. So when that membership ended, then I transferred to another one. So it's like now I'm leaving my old life behind. Mm. Everything I was used to, I'm leaving it behind. And now I'm coming to a new gym. New friends.
Why did you change?
Distance.
Just distance.
Yes, distance. So the gym, the Planet Fitness is next to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't stay at home anymore.
Was that because you were moving on to UP campus? Or?
Yes.
Okay. So
I was traveling from here to there. It wasn't
not convenient.
Ideal. Yeah. So when it ended, I was like, yes, now I can have a gym that's closer to where I am now.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, convenience is huge. And it's funny. It actually gets me even thinking about this business guy's story about... So this guy, Alex Omozi, he's an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And his business, I think he was selling licensing fees for a particular model to build and scale gym services or something like that.
Okay.
Like he basically gave people the blueprint on how to build a gym business.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And in some of the gyms that he worked with, it was funny how some of them blew out the competition because the people in the area that those gyms were being built in, they were like the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people thought that they were the stuff. But the moment that another gym was open, one of that guy's like licensees gyms opened in the area, gone, business gone. And so it was all just about convenience.
Yeah.
So it's like... Yeah. It just tells the story that you shouldn't be complacent.
Mm.
Like the complacency of thinking I'm the convenient business around people, and they, therefore I'm the only thing that they can get.
Yeah,
a competitor can easily open up,
literally.
And you're done.
Yeah,
you're finished.
Absolutely.
Mavu, you went to Werkwerk recently. You went to Werkwerk recently. There's too much learning.
Oh my word!
From your PwC Werkwerk.
Yeah.
What have you learned?
Okay, where do I start? From the beginning. The one thing that I really, really learned. You know, one thing I've noticed is that when you actually get into the degree or you start studying about it,
mm-hmm.
you don't really have a good idea of what it entails until you're getting closer to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for me. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know auditors do this and that, but what do they do? Yeah, what do they do? Like, when you enter the office, what do you do? What do you take out from your bag? Like, what's happening, you know? And a couple of people shared what they do on a daily basis from the different divisions, audit divisions that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that and just hearing about how their daily lives looks like, I'm like, okay, I think I kind of have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started making sense in my head. Like, okay, accountants do so much, actually. Mm. And they're needed everywhere. Because you can't say one industry doesn't need. And it needs an accountant. It needs an auditor. It needs everything.
Yeah.
Like, it just got me. I think that was the one thing I learned. Like,
Were the only auditors that were speaking at the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was only auditors. On the first day that was speaking, trainees and managers and so it was, I think that was the highlight for me, that there's so much, there's actually so much that they do, like auditors, there's so much that accountants can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one thing that really stood out for me. There's so much that they can do.
Like what? Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. Just so that, like, Because the listeners need to know, like, what are those things that they do?
Okay. First of all, so it depends on what position you're in. So if you're like a first year trainee or like a second year trainee, you have different roles. And obviously, it seemed like the trainees do quite a lot, and the people in management are just the ones that review and check and
tell them what to do.
Yeah. It's like you go do that, and then the trainers are like, okay, I want to do it, and then they do it, and they report back. Is this okay? I did this. So it's a situation like that. So. Depending on which company you're auditing, you're gonna basically the audit process that we're learning.
Yes, yeah.
Pre-engagement, planning, test of controls, so all of that, literally.
But they do the actual procedure.
Yes.
We're just sort of like talking about, yeah, this procedures and this is what the procedure is. But they do the procedure.
They do the procedure. For an example, the first step, pre-engagement.
Yes.
So one of the men who was presenting, he spoke about how what they would usually do is that you visit the company, you're trying to understand the business, you get to know the people, you speak to them, the controls. You're just trying to get a sense of, are they worth our time?
Mm.
Should we go for it? Mm-hmm. Are there any red flags? Are there red flags that red that we can't look away? Or, I mean, it's something we can work around. Mm. So it's stuff like that. Like, okay, did you hear anything? Did you see something? Did you research the company? Mm. How do people perceive this company? Mm. Do we want to be associated with this company? Mm. Like, do you understand? There's so much that happens that they do. I can't even say it's one thing, but that's like an example.
That was a great example. And immediately what came to mind was how our auditing lecturer, she painted that picture. Every single word you were saying was like, yo, this is like a relationship. It's like there's no difference. You know, you're talking about red flags. You're like, oh, okay. Do I want to be associated with this person? Did you do your background research on this person? You know, like...
You know what's so funny about this?
Are they worth my time?
You know what's so funny about this? Like, every time a person explains the audit procedure, they always compare it to relationships. It's always relationships. Yeah. And I'm just like, guys, is there anything else we could have
I feel like there's nothing. You were saying everything. Is this guy worth my time? You could replace the word company with guy.
Okay.
You could literally, did we do the background research on this guy?
Yeah.
There's a few red flags on this guy. Do you think we should be associated with this guy? What did this guy do in the past?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What are other people saying about this guy?
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
Red flag. Green flag, but the red flags outweigh the green flags.
Yeah.
That's literally what we do in the pre-engagement
literally
analysis.
So that's literally it. These are the things they do. Mm. They also like get paid a lot.
Yeah. You
know, living a good life, you know.
Did you get any numbers so that you can report back to the people that don't know?
Numbers? What do you mean numbers?
Like, how much does a manager make? Did you ask anyone like that?
No.
Calm. I think the industry is like, you could probably search it up, but it's like for managers, like 50, 60.
Mm.
So when you become a CA, you've got a proper salary, people.
Yeah.
You know, but as a trainee, it's a little tough. Like, it's not bad, I wouldn't say, because I think that you gain a lot more value than... you cost, because literally you go to these firms to learn.
Yeah.
You're not super skilled. You're not super knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So you're getting like 20 gross, which is, grateful type of thing.
It is.
But, it's not the same as a manager.
It's not.
Would you say there's been any mistakes in your journey?
Mistakes?
Mm.
In terms of...
I mean,
just elaborate
general mistakes. For example, in my case, I think if I can say mistake, not that I have regrets, but a mistake would have been not to have done enough research in the potential paths that CASA can result in. So, like, have there been any mistakes along the journey? I think even another mistake of mine would be not using everything at my disposal. So the consultations, they're there.
Yeah.
The tutors, they're there.
Yeah.
The tutorial sessions as well, they're there. The questions are there. Like, there's so much at your disposal. So these are like two mistakes of mine.
Okay. In the journey.
Mm.
Okay. I think mistakes.
Mm. You're perfect.
Of course. I'm kidding. But I'll have to think about this one. Mistakes. Mm. I don't know if this would count as a mistake, but it's something I know I have to learn from. Mm. So I sometimes have like imposter syndrome, major imposter syndrome. Like, I feel like I'm not good enough for certain stuff. And even when I transferred to accounting, I still had the thing of like, what if they tell me to go back to financial science? Like, what if, like, obviously I know the card.
It's not possible.
Yeah,
I know. But it feels like that.
But it feels like that. It's like, okay, but those people did first year accounting then, and I didn't. Then
you
am I behind? Like,
you.
And it used to weigh down on me a lot because it's like, do I even deserve to be here? You know? Am I a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Did they add me by mistake? Because I know a few people who didn't make it to second year but made it to first year. So I'm like, yo, if my marks drop, are they gonna, you know, like, it was just this fear that was holding me back from actually performing to my fullest potential. So yeah, I think believing that could have been a mistake is actually a mistake because I know that, like, I'm very much a Jesus girl, Christian girl.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God places us in different places at different times for specific reasons. And so trusting God, holding on to that, that because he placed me here, I should be faithful to the step that I'm in. Like, work hard if I have to, study if I have to. But I shouldn't disqualify myself because I didn't even qualify myself for that position. So, yeah, that believing that I'm not worth it or I'm not good enough for this space was a big mistake.
That's huge, yeah. Hey? And I've actually been thinking of doing an episode where I chat about imposter syndrome. So I actually have two sort of sides to it. There's So imposter syndrome absolutely is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, at the same time, I believe imposter syndrome helps us.
Yeah.
So, I'll explain the side that helps us first.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, the side that usually people deal with. So, imposter syndrome is this, defined. The belief that one is not competent when they're competent.
Mm-hmm.
When they actually do have skills and abilities. Mm-hmm. That's imposter syndrome. And you feel like a fraud. You feel like you're not qualified to be in a space.
Yeah.
And you actually are.
Mm.
So that's imposter syndrome. And that's what a lot of us go through. What I believe most of us go through is not imposter syndrome, but a lack of preparation.
Okay.
I actually believe that in the times for me where I feel like an imposter, I probably just didn't do enough reps. I even think back to, so I did a TED talk back in 2021.
Yeah.
And before I went on stage, I felt that little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, oh, am I meant to be here? I could see like the red sign said TEDx. You know, it's a little bit daunting. But when I look in hindsight, although it wasn't a bad presentation, I think it was actually decent.
It was. I watched it.
Well, thanks. How was it?
That was good. That was good.
Did you learn anything? Yeah, that's my big thing.
I did learn. I did learn quite a lot of stuff. But I think what fascinated me at that point was how you just presented everything. I was like, wow. Like, never mind what he's saying, but the presentation skills.
Just to say the whole thing.
Yeah. Just, even the courage, just the boldness. I'm like, hey, Wow. Okay.
Look, on that, I think, so on that same point, like, we compare, and this is, I think, a really big problem in, like, the way we are as humans. We compare our day one to others' year 20.
Yeah, we do.
Like, it's not the first speech I'd done. Mm-hmm. It's not. So that I think is a big problem. But that doesn't even relate to imposter syndrome. The point I was making is, I really believe that the real reason why I felt like that is because I'd only practiced the speech like 5 to 10 times before. And I didn't do it 100 times.
Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
I do believe imposter syndrome does exist. Mm-hmm. And I do believe there are people who have done all the work, but they just have that little bottleneck of not believing in themselves, mm-hmm. which that absolutely exists. I still think, though, that we need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves. Sometimes, guys, you didn't do the questions.
Yep.
Sometimes you just didn't do the pre-reading. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the people in the room are just that competent that you are obviously going to feel out of your depth.
Yes.
Like, you're around. So there was this one guy, an entrepreneur who did his articles at VAT IT. Mm-hmm. It's a great program. And he's now an 8-figure entrepreneur. So he's like, he's big. Mm. He runs a business called Old School, which they sell rugby jerseys. They're like the rugby jersey selling business. And when he was doing his article, so he was a top student, like cum laude, passed his degree, passed honors with like 70%, which is, that's cum laude. That's like, that's distinction. Yeah. And he enters the VAC work, the article space. Mm-hmm. And he has this chip on his shoulder, you know. And he had also built like one of the largest nonprofits during COVID. Like he was doing stuff. He knew how to build business and do things. But then he got humbled in the program when he was in this room with these top CAs in the country. Like four of the top 10 CAs in the country. He was in a room with them talking real business, giving value. And he felt that little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, who am I to be here?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to feel that.
Yeah.
I believe that this imposter syndrome actually has the capacity to bolster you. So now you feel pressure to perform.
Yeah.
So on this end of the imposter syndrome of preparation, or the positive side, I think that a lot of it can help you if we harness it, if we embrace it a little bit. Like, if your doctor, for an example, came to a surgery, you have a heart problem and he's a heart surgeon, and he felt like, I don't know if I'm qualified for this. Are you going to tell him to overcome his fears?
I'm gonna leave.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, there's that side of imposter syndrome. Although, definitely, I think with us being accounting students, just being in the program qualifies you.
Yeah.
Like, you had to have done something, Marvel. You had to. You know what I'm saying?
So much, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, just even the getting from financial sciences in here, you had to have done something.
I had to.
Like, they have a requirement.
They do. They do. Yeah. No. Thanks for that.
I want to reassure you and everyone else who has the same belief. Like, I'm not qualified to be in this room. All right, guys, come now.
Nice.
You literally passed the admission requirements.
Yeah.
There's no justified imposter syndrome at that level. There is a justified imposter syndrome at the level of, yo, I don't know about this test, when you didn't study.
Yeah.
Study. You must study. You must read. You must do questions. Yes. I think that's a huge one. Questions.
Questions.
Yes. Questions. I'm going to sound like a broken record because I've already talked to guys about questions.
Questions. Yeah.
But, you know, like, no more imposter syndrome about being in the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. We made it. Mm. We're capable of doing it.
Mm.
And we're going to do it.
Mm. Mm. You are where you prayed and dreamed to be a few years ago.
Absolutely.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to build on those confident points.
Yeah.
If you could go back.
Is this the question?
This is the question.
Okay.
This is the question.
Yeah.
If you could go back to first year, second year, maybe even high school, what would you tell her?
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Be happy. Yeah.
Don't worry, everything is going to be okay. I think I used to stress a lot about my future and what's going to happen. who's going to pay my fees next year? What's going to happen? Don't worry. Relax. Trust the process. Everything will work out. However they work out, something will work out. Just don't worry.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Be happy.
So, be happy, absolutely.
Yeah. First year high school, mom, relax, girl. Relax. Yeah. Just don't let it get to you.
Yeah.
It'll come.
It will come.
Guys, please, tell us a belief if you've not already. Please follow this. That was amazing, mom. This was such a fun episode to finally have the cheerleader of cheerleaders of the show to come on, share her story. It was absolutely fantastic. Guys, rate the show if it's adding value. I truly believe that your story today is going to add value to that person who needs it, man.
I hope it does.
That person that needs it. And all we need is one life. All we need is one life. Understand it. All we need is one life that will be touched by the story.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Thank you, Mahu.
Yeah.